Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. How did I talk to the spirit?
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
What's happening, friends? Welcome to Podcast Unlocked, episode 401. Plenty to talk about this week. Destin went to the Halo Outpost Discovery, a.k.a. HaloCon. Can we just go
with
HaloCon?
That's me.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that, plus some Batman news from Rocksteady. It's not quite the news you're hoping for, but it's something. Playdead, the tiniest of updates on their next project following Outside, which is now 3 years old already. You get a chance to play Gears 5 coming up and more this week on Podcast Unlocked.
Podcast Unlocked.
What's happening, friends? Ryan McCaffrey with you here. It's July 9th, 2019, Podcast Unlocked, episode 401. He got the bam in already, Destin LeGarry.
Bam.
Got another one.
Double dose of bam.
Two for one.
Two bams in a week.
Got to make up for Miranda not being here. She is out sick today, unfortunately. So we do miss her. Brandon Tyrell.
Howdy, howdy.
Good to have you.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm worried that I'm coming down with whatever Miranda has.
Nope, but you're not allowed to do that because I'm in a confined small room with you.
Yes, you are.
So please, for the love of God,
I'm not locked in here with you.
Yeah, is this Dark Souls or Doom? I guess it depends from your perspective or mine.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you're Doom and I'm Dark Souls.
Okay.
In this case,
I'll take that.
I'm locked in the room with you.
Yeah.
And you're locked in your case. I'm locked in the room with you.
We're all locked in here together.
It's fine. Anyway, July. Here we go. The dredges of summer, which I love summer, except with video games, because that's always the slowest time of the year. But there's some stuff out. Sea of Solitude,
you know,
a big EA original came out this week. I haven't had a chance, or I guess last week, technically.
Yeah,
came out at the end of last week. I haven't had a chance to play it yet. It's been reviewing sort of middle of the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, for most sites, 6.5 and okay and a half out of 10 on IGN. I want to give it a look. I mean, I'm into games like that. It has something to say.
Yeah, it looks intriguing. And even if I think one of the criticisms that our reviewer levied against it was that it just kind of overstays its welcome.
Yeah.
And even if that's the case, like, I'm really interested in seeing like some of the unique mechanics or the way they marry those mechanics with narrative. You know?
Yeah, me too. Me too. So that's out. But otherwise, it's going to be pretty quiet as far as the releases go on the Xbox side for a while. Thankfully, there are a summer full of conventions between, you know, E3 kind of kicks us off in June. We got San Diego Comic-Con, which Microsoft actually used to show up pretty big at.
A lot of game publishers did.
They haven't so much in recent years, although, granted, even when they did, it was usually just with the same builds they had at E3, but it's still a chance for people to see them that didn't get to go to E3.
And that's largely what Comic-Con and Gamescom is sort of a second look at stuff. Yeah. Some people bring new stuff to Gamescom, but Comic-Con is usually, since it's entertainment-focused, the game side is generally like just another take on the things they brought to E3.
Yeah, so I know, Brandon, you're heading up our team's Gamescom planning. You're going to be heading over there. Destin, are you going this year?
Yes.
Yeah, so you guys will be gone.
Germany buddies.
Yeah.
Be fun.
Polish.
I still remember, I've only gone once, 2013, it was the year the Xbox One came out.
Mm-hmm.
Destin, you and I did a podcast from my hotel room. Remember that?
Did we?
Remember that?
Yeah, sort of.
There's a lot of that.
I forgot
that
about
fun.
That. That was a good, I remember
we were in
that.
That nice hotel, though.
That was a good time.
The year Mafia 3 came out, I went to Gamescom and we ended up interviewing, I think it was you and I.
It was you.
We ended up interviewing Hayden Blackman, who is the
was
the studio head at the time. And we interviewed him in his hotel room, and we like had this whole setup going on, and we're brewing coffee in those tiny little coffee makers that they have in hotel rooms.
That video did like 2 million views.
Yeah, I mean, yes, it was a resounding success, but yeah. one of the stranger interviews I had in my career.
Yeah, Ryan, I actually just got back from a gaming convention. I got back from Guardian Con. It is the Destiny convention,
yes.
And next year they're rebranding. I was just looking up Gaming Community Expo, so it's still, you know, Destiny at heart, but they've
been
expanding
instead
every
of
year.
Gamescom. It's GameComCom.
Gaming Community Expo. GCC.
No, GameComCon. Gaming Community Convention, GameComCon?
Yeah. Gaming Community.
I like it.
The GC was important to them because they wanted to keep the Guardian Con at heart.
Yeah.
But they were running into this problem with branding where everybody just thought it was the Destiny convention because of Guardian Con. So, like, this is going to allow them to spawn. It started as a meetup. It was like 1,000 people showed up to like, hey, let's have dinner in Florida or something.
Yeah.
1,000 people showed up. And then I was at the second one. The second one was basically in, I don't mean to be disparaging, it seemed like a high school gymnasium, but it was more about the heart of it. The heart of it was meeting like other people that play Destiny, just really, really cool community members. And it's been, I don't like Florida that much. But I love going to this event just to meet everybody and hang out with everybody. And
take that, really Florida, cool. Some shade from Destin.
I wish they had more shade, Ryan. It is so hot in Florida. It's so humid.
Yeah.
But the people are absolutely great. And it's just really weird because Bungie's just hanging out. They're just talking to everybody.
Yeah. And I know there are a lot of other games. Control was there. Mm-hmm. I saw they had Remedy brought Control to the show.
Control was there. Borderlands was there.
Didn't Microsoft – did they have any Halo stuff there?
They didn't have Halo stuff at the Guardian Con event, but I was really surprised they didn't partner up with Guardian Con and do the Halo thing because it's both Bungie creations, right?
Sure.
Yeah. And but for whatever reason, I didn't see any.
Yeah, Halo, but there was a lot going on. It wasn't just Destiny stuff.
No, there was other game. There were other games there. They raised like $4 million for charity.
That's awesome.
The heart of the event is raising money for sick kids, you know, and it's really expanding. It's a cool event, and I can't wait to see how they grow with Gaming Community Expo next year. Even though I am going to have to look up the name a few times. I like their branding.
Well, hey, whatever it's called, sounds like, you know, it's a great, spirited event with its heart in the right place and a good, you know, thesis. Basically, it's sort of, it knows that it's just about getting the people together and trying to do some good while you're there and have some fun. So
exactly.
It's not just, it sounds like it's the opposite of a corporate, you know, just cash grab of an event. It's not
that's what it is. It's just a good at the heart event for positive things. And shout out to Alex, aka OmniWaffle, on Twitter. If you guys know who that is, he has a large hand in coordinating the event, getting us our passes, just making sure that we can get in there. Kevin Magic, Gathalion, Broman, all those people have created this event from basically nothing. So it's, and there's more people I'm not listing, but yeah, it's a big, huge effort on those guys' part, and it's amazing to just be able to go.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So while you were in Florida, though, you know, we teased this on last week's show, you did indeed get to stop by the Halo Outpost.
I did.
And you and I, actually, I was out yesterday, so I haven't even talked to you off the air about this. So this is my first time hearing about all of it, too. I want to hear all about this.
Okay, so
this was the first week, right? The first installation?
This is the first week, and
They're going to be going to other cities.
I want people to know that I'm actually trying to develop something. I forgot I'm a manager at IGN, and I have to actually do a lot of other stuff, like coordinate all the games I have. So I come back, I'm like, oh, yeah, this part of my life. But I'm working on doing more of an editorial breakdown of what Halo Outpost is. So this is just conversational. This is my first take with Ryan and just kind of letting other people know what I experienced.
Yeah.
For me, it was you park and then you walk to the convention, then you actually get there. And the first hall you're greeted with is a large empty hall, which was very, very strange. There are some cosplayers off on the right just doing some photos with fans or whatever.
Wait, sorry, not to interrupt.
Yeah.
Is this separate? Was this in the same proximity to Guardian Con? Or?
No, it was a totally different convention center.
Cross town.
I think it was probably a coincidence more than anything else.
It was 10 minutes away.
Interesting.
Like a 10-minute drive away. And a huge, huge venue. That you had to like walk through to get in, and thank you to the PR event for allowing us to attend. Now I need to be negative,
constructively critical. How about that?
Either way,
No, no constructive criticism.
I've been really struggling with how to handle this.
Yeah.
Because I went with my wife. We were able to get on two rides. We didn't have to wait in lines. We did the Pelican ride and we did the VR ride. And the VR is actually one of the cooler things. So I'll start with that. The VR is actually really fun. You've seen it in a lot of the trailers, and it's like it's Spartans without legs, basically. But mm-hmm. you're in VR and you have a plasma pistol, and this cover pops up while you're in the VR helmet, and then you can kind of like, it's basically like paintball in VR. It was actually really cool.
You're like
it doesn't
out of cover. And
yeah, yeah. It doesn't look cool, but when you're doing it, it's actually really fun. And my wife is not a gamer.
Meaning, so you just did air quotes on a podcast. So just to frame that for people, by look cool, you mean you look kind of goofy to other human beings in real life, but you're not talking about the graphics of it. You're not
like,
speaking.
Well, the graphics inside are just fine, but like you don't have legs. So you're kind of like a floating torso with floating arms, right? I don't know if they're going to iterate on that further, but that is, and including the Reddit reactions, probably one of the strongest rides that they have available. And I use rides with air quotes
they're experiences, right?
Experiences.
It's not like going to Magic Mountain.
This isn't California Screaming. Yeah.
No, not at all. Secondarily, there was also some of the other rides include the Pelican Ride, Escape Room, Laser Tag, the VR one I talked about. They had copies of Halo Reach running on PC there. So if you want to get early, if you're going to the one in Philadelphia, be sure you take advantage of like the 300 or 200 machines that they have playable for all the different Halos. And they have tournaments and stuff you can enter too.
Did you play Reach?
I did not, but CJ and our friend Teddy did. And I played it at E3. So
did they have did they have like Master Chief Collection hooked up where you could just play Halo 1 or Halo 2 or Halo like multiplayer? Yeah.
Yes, they did.
See, I think I would go just to have a Halo 2 LAN because I haven't had that in 15 years.
It was strange. The whole time I was there, I didn't see many people utilizing the machines. That's why I'm like, why? Why aren't people? I guess because you can play it at home.
Right, because all these kids grew up with online being, they don't have the nostalgia for LAN parties. Yeah.
So the line to get the line to do the VR thing, people are saying it's 2 to 3 hours. It's 2 to 3 hours for any of these experiences.
Wow, that's a lot.
So the VR was a positive experience. It was really, really fun once we got in, and we were media, so we were able to, go experience it together quickly. And I was only able to do that for two rides, that one and the Pelican ride, which I was really interested in. The Pelican ride, I advise you do last or keep lower on your priority list because you go sit in basically a shipping container that has been repurposed to be a pelican.
Yeah.
So they kind of immerse you. The guy acts like a drill sergeant. You go into this, and then you sit in a chair. It vibrates a little, and they're like, oh, we're crashing. You need to go over to the panels. So you separate into your groups of four.
Like an escape room?
It's an escape room, basically.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. There is actually an escape room. This is sort of an escape room.
I'm with you so far.
I was picturing like Star Tours where you sit down and it's...
And then you have a panel. It has switches. It has buttons. And it has a twisty knob down here and a stop-start button and a lever that you pull. So it has like a bunch of knobs you have to pull.
Yeah.
And then you just sort of work together to press the appropriate sequence. And then at one point for the last challenge, it's just like one person will be designated the leader. It happened to be me. So I was like, station 4, A3. And it's like A and then 1, 2, 3 on the side. Okay. So
it's Star Trek Bridge Crew, essentially.
Yeah. I don't know what that is.
I do.
I didn't do that.
It's a VR game. Ubisoft came out.
This one's not in VR. This is like real thing. Yeah.
There's also a mobile game, but it's you get a bunch of people together and like you have to verbally tell people, turn the accelerometer.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically you stand at a station, you press the buttons, and then they're like, ride's over. And that's it. You get out of the shipping container and they're like, good job, recruiter, whatever. That was probably the least exciting of the rides. Let's go back to a positive one.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, hold on.
Yeah, go ahead.
This shipping container.
Yeah. It's literally a shipping container.
Okay,
redesigned to
They didn't like use it as the interior guts of the Pelican and then build a ship around it. It's just a shipping container that says like Pelican on the outside.
It's painted. But yeah, it's basically a shipping container.
USNC colors?
UNSC,
UNSC?
Yeah, it's like green and green and a lot of people were also on Reddit underwhelmed by that experience. Another really cool experience, though, that a lot of people seem to be mostly positive about that I got to watch. I didn't get to participate in, but they let us like inside while they were doing it. The laser tag is really neat.
Sounds fun.
So they have like a laser tag arena set up, and you can get in there again, 2 to 3 hour wait for the line.
Killtacular.
Yeah. Yeah. And it does the sound effects and stuff like that.
Nice.
Which is, well, wait, don't quote me on that because I didn't get to play it. But yeah. The guns like reload, and it's just really neat watching everybody like run around, take cover behind everything.
Well, you did a hand motion when you said reload. Is there like an actual
reload? You got to do something with the gun. I noticed people were doing in order to get it to reload.
I noticed people were doing. Did you run out of ammo?
I didn't get to do it.
Oh, okay.
I was able to be in the place
just
to
watching,
do B-roll
to
shooting.
Watch it, yeah.
Yeah, for this larger piece that I'm developing. And yeah. And yeah, that looked really, really cool because there's like movable cover and, you know, everybody shooting at each other. Laser tag is just kind of
fun. It's fun.
It's hard to go wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The escape room was broken.
Oh, no.
For the duration of the... No, the escape room was broken. So largely the experiences of that I was able to glean are all from Reddit. Mm. And it was broken often, apparently. Mm. And when you go in there, each of the puzzles take 10 minutes. And if you don't solve them in that time, the AI just solves it for you. And then you're out. You're done.
Well, that's convenient.
So that one also...
Cortana comes on. She's just like, all right, guys.
put that low on your priority list.
Okay.
What else do we have here? Pelican Ride Escape Room, Laser Tag, VR. And then there was a Halo Ring experience.
Oh, yeah.
That was a three-hour wait, and I asked to get in as media, and they said no, which fair.
Sure.
I don't like going in front of people, but I was on a time crunch. I'm like, I have to go back to Guardian Con because we have a panel at 3:30, you know, and unfortunately, I wasn't able to experience that, but it's apparently like a sort of augmented reality thing where something happens.
You put on the headset and you look up and the ring kind of goes into the sky or something?
I have no idea. They wouldn't let me film it anyway. They're like, we want to keep that experience like for the event.
Yeah.
All right. So sort of no verdict on that.
No verdict on that, good or bad. I haven't really seen a lot of people writing about it either. It was really, really cool to see the statues, though. The statues and the things. As soon as you walk in, it's the first thing you see. You see a scale replica of Master Chief and a Covenant. There's also apparently Flood there and Guilty Spark, but I don't know where they were.
Yeah, so
I wanted to see that so bad, and I couldn't find it.
When I was just doing my daily Reddit scroll, I kept seeing an image of an actual size Flood Spore.
Yeah.
and
it looks really cool.
It looked super cool, but it also... was the size of like a medium-sized dog. Like I always thought they were these little softball-sized things.
No, it was probably if you're watching video, bigger than your head.
Yeah, it was big.
Yeah, and then he has like these tentacles that extend out.
I think I saw the same tweet going around that you did of like the horrified people looking at it through the glass.
Yeah.
It looked like, when I looked at that picture, it looked like everyone was wearing headphones. So it made me think of like, you know, when you go to the National History Museum and you're walking through the
tour.
Yeah, the Egypt exhibit, they're talking about Tutankhamun and all that.
Yeah.
It reminded me of that, and I'm dying to know what they were saying about this spore. Like, just what could they have possibly said about a Flood Spore to make those people's reactions just grimace in horror? Mm-hmm.
I really, really like seeing the statues because being there, you kind of get context as a nerd, I am. I'm like, oh, this is what the humans on Earth would have experienced if they saw an elite.
A little slice of that universe.
Yeah, yeah, a little slice of that universe. So I really, really enjoyed that. And I'm a big fan of artwork. And just seeing the amount of detail on the mandibles of the Covenant actually was really, really cool.
It was an elite?
Yeah, it was an elite. I can't remember the specific kind.
The Arbiter?
No, it wasn't
just a generic.
It was an elite, and there were people dressed as scientists. I'm saying in quotes, and they were like, "We recovered this armor from battle, it's not a real plasma sword. The kids kept burning themselves on it, so we had to put a fake one." Just kind of having fun with it. And I really, really liked that they did that. All in all, I highly recommend if you're going to this event, do not get the VIP pass. Get a day pass. One of the biggest complaints people had is that Steve Downs and
Jen Taylor
are there doing autographs. And something went really, really wrong. I'm going to read a few quotes. There's a little bit of profanity. I'll just bleep it out so we don't have to do it in the show. Outpost is a S show. Lines were long as F. We waited 2 hours to see Jen and Steve to get things signed, then get told it was random raffle to make it fair. How is that fair to those who have just waited to be told if they do an told they would get a chance to meet them. If they do another Halo Outpost in Orlando, you can count me and my group out. Four of our members bought VIP and regret it. And one person at the event who had bought a VIP ticket actually came up to me and was furious. He said the VIP room was basically two Xboxes with janky controllers, you know, like some soda in the corner, and that was basically the VIP
I would,
thing.
See, when you just tell me VIP pass, in my head I go, oh, so you don't have to wait in the lines.
Yes.
You get to it's like buying an e-ticket, a fast pass at Disneyland.
Yeah. And you automatically get to meet the people that you want to meet and get things signed.
They did not get to meet it. They were the mother and father were very furious. They were there with a little kid, and I asked the little kid. I was like, "Hey, what did you think of the rides?" He was like, "It was awesome." Yeah. So like the kid was having a good time.
Good.
The parents were upset. And then this is another negative one. He or she advises, please don't waste your time on Covenant Escape. The puzzles were simple, and our group solved them so quickly the AI didn't finish her voice line and bugged out. There was also a puzzle that involved a moving panel that jammed. Super disappointing. The attractions are not worth coming for. To even that out, though, I found this positive post that says Halo Outpost Discovery is fine. And this person said, overall, I feel that my experience was fine. I had a lot of fun. As a VIP, I got access to the Pelican Sim and the Ring experience. Also, as a VIP, I got two special dog tags, 6 months of Xbox Ultimate Game Pass, some Avatar stuff, the exclusive to Outpost Discovery Funko, a Dave and Buster's coupon, a really cool not Halo-related mug, and a Halo bag to put it all in. The Game Pass alone is worth the extra price.
By the sound of that person, it's that you can go to the front of the line because they mentioned
for the Pelican thing and the Halo Ring
and the Ring experience, which you said were like 2 to 3 hour waits.
Yeah,
but everything was
they're long waits, and so I really wanted a chance to see them all, and I was bummed that I couldn't I wanted to see the Ring and I wanted to see the Pelican thing. My wife newly discovered VR at Guardian Con, and she's just like, I want to do VR everything. So I was like, all right, let's try it out. And I'm really glad I did because it's being touted as probably one of the best rides at the event.
Well, it sounds
merch also sells out really quick.
Yeah.
Like really, really fast.
Yeah.
So
what was the additional price of the VIP over the standard ticket?
I know a standard ticket is $80. Mm-hmm. I think a VIP is $150 to $200. Okay. It was high. I didn't write that down, but I did write down some of the dates. Again, this is the reason I don't have all my data is because I'm in the middle of developing a feature for this about what Reddit's saying, the positive versus the negative, why the majority of people are saying they're disappointed with this event. And if you look online, most people are saying they're disappointed. After that guy came up to me, I went to random people throughout the event and I just said, hey, I'm just wondering, I see you're online. Do you mind if I just ask you just about the event and what your experience was like? And most people were like, it's fine.
Yeah.
I think the people that got burned by the autograph signing, they were definitely really, really
That's understandable.
Upset.
You know, you go and you get a chance to, you know, when are you ever going to get a chance to meet Steve Downs and Taylor?
Yeah.
If you you know, get turned away for whatever reason, that's super frustrating.
Yeah. Apparently people were told that if you got in line in the first hour, then you're in. And then they were like, no, that's not the case. And then only 60 people got autographs from Jen and Steve Downs. Huh. If I had bought a VIP pass and I was super stoked about that, I would be angry too.
Definitely.
And I understand that. And initially I was just going to do a stand up at the event and just kind of, you know, do my due diligence. Well, not even my due diligence, just do something to talk about the event.
Yeah.
And as that person who came up to me, I don't remember his name, kind of inspired me to do a deeper dive into what the event is like from a consumer experience. Mm-hmm. And hopefully I can create something cool that you guys can see on IG soon about what it's like.
Yeah.
I shot a ton of B-roll, so I have footage of a lot of the stuff there. And to give you an idea what it is like, I love the replicas of the guns. They had the AR and the pistol.
Yeah.
There's some stuff I miss, like the
flood
and the Guilty Spark. And I just wish I knew where it was. Because you go in and it's just a big open space.
It's like a big convention hall.
Yeah, and you can like see everything as soon as you go in. There's a center ring. Oh, there's a scale Warthog, too, that apparently functions. I forgot
the one from Weta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. It might be from Weta.
Way back in the day at OXM, we did a feature. We sent, I think we had to send a freelancer. None of us, because we sent someone to I think we actually found someone in New Zealand because we had no budget to actually fly there.
Yeah.
We had somebody go to Weta and drive the real Warthog that they had built because they were going to be doing
the movie with Peter Jackson.
Yes. So it's probably the same thing. I'm sure it's not like they disassembled it. I'm sure it's been sitting around somewhere.
Mm-hmm. I thought that they stripped all those props down and used them in District 9 when Neil Blomkamp.
You got it. We did it.
When he filmed District 9.
Maybe.
I mean, they utilized as much as they could, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah. So it sounds like, you know, this was the first event.
Yeah, it's the first. They have July 19th to 21st, so this coming weekend in Philadelphia.
That's next weekend.
Comic-Con weekend, right?
No, you said the 19th. That's not this weekend.
Oh, you're right. It's the 9th.
They've got some time. They pack the whole thing up and they truck it to the next city. And hopefully they'll be able to adapt. I'm sure they're not going to fix everything on the next stop that people are complaining about, but hopefully they'll be able to address some of it.
Yeah, for me, I just want to give consumers who are considering going to this thing an idea of what to expect.
Definitely.
And sort of steer them in the right direction and hopefully like, hey, if you're going to go anyway, there's some cool statues there. Check out the VR thing if you have some time. Put this stuff lower on your priority list. I mean, people were there hours early for the signings and still didn't get in, so I don't know what to say about that. That should be addressed by the event handler.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And maybe don't get the VIP pass.
And yeah, Microsoft's reading all these Reddit threads. You know, they're aware of all the feedback.
I did speak to somebody on site and let them know, hey, there's a lot of people who have expressed unhappiness about this, just so you know. And she's like, we're taking all the feedback. Hopefully we can iterate at the next event. Yeah. And the people at the booth who I spoke to, they were all really nice. Mm. Like, everybody seemed really nice. They were helping everybody out.
I wonder if it's just like local event staff. And
yeah, I think they just hire local actors and stuff to be the scientists or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. So all in all, like, I'm kind of in the same boat as the person who had more of a measured response, who got the VIP ticket. It's fine, but it's not like, oh my God, this is the best thing. You have to go to it. It's just like, okay, it was something to do.
Yeah, it sounds like more of an experiential thing rather than a knock yourself, like a county fair as opposed to Disneyland kind of.
Right. That's a good. That might be a good analogy there.
Yeah.
Do you have the other cities in front of you? I think I cut you off.
Yeah, I got the whole list here. So July 19th to 21st in Philly, August 2nd to 4th in Chicago, August 16th to 18th in Houston, and August 30th to September 1st in Anaheim.
So it's every 2 weeks. So there will be time to try and hopefully improve the overall experience as this tour continues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fair's a good analogy. Anaheim, California, that's pretty close, but it's very close to Gamescom also.
It's also very close to Disneyland.
That's go to Disneyland after.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I'm just putting together an itinerary, guys. That's all.
Hey, I'm there. Let's go.
Yeah.
Can we get the company to sign off on that?
For research.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't want to poo-poo on the event, but I also want to present all the information that I've gathered to our
totally
listeners
and
viewers. And,
when you told me, when you laughed when I said constructive criticism up front, I thought we were in for a bit more of a murderous rampage on your part. But no, I thought that was a pretty even keel report on your part. Thank you.
It's hard for me to be angry about it. I didn't pay for anything.
Right.
Right. Context there. I'm media, so I go as media to cover the event. I got into two rides that I didn't have to wait for.
Yeah.
And I was able to shoot all the B-roll that I need to do this study. So, yeah.
Well, thank you, Destin.
No problem.
Good feedback for the audience who's looking to go.
Sorry, Ryan. One more thing. If you went, please leave a comment in the description of this video. Let me know what you thought, because I can use that in the feature that I'm developing. Mm.
Absolutely. Real quick, before we get started with just a few news stories this week, I want to mention that our July IGN First has kicked off. It is a game I am personally very excited about, Control from Remedy. I mentioned it at the top of the show. They had a booth at Guardian Con.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, this is a game. I love Remedy. I've talked about that a million different times on this show. I don't think they've ever made a bad game. I thought Quantum Break was the least excellent of their games, but it was still a great game. That damn last boss fight. If only that hadn't been that way. But I played Control for the first time at GDC, and it felt really good. And then I played again at Judges Week for, you know, for E3 coverage. Yeah. And it just feels really good. It's a single player experience, third person action with telekinetic powers. It feels really good when you can levitate and you can kind of float around and pick up like chunks of concrete off the wall and it feels real good. And the story seems cool because it's, you know, it's mm-hmm. it's Sam Lake, you know, writing and their team, you know, the same people that brought you Alan Wake and Max Payne.
People at GuardianCon who played it, they were like, yeah, I'm getting that.
Yeah.
Like they were sold after getting to play it for just a little bit. So I'm hearing positive things also. Cool. That's cool.
We've got our first feature, which was yesterday. You know, we didn't do anything during the holiday week last week, figuring a lot of people were traveling. So we have the first 13 minutes of the game up. If you want to see that on IGN or IGN's YouTube channel, you can see how Control gets started. We'll have a lot more features, a lot more gameplay coming up all July long. But yeah, I'm very excited for this one. And then I think I mentioned this last week. So Sam Lake is my unfiltered guest for July. I was able to. We were able to make it work at E3, so we shot it at E3, and look for that. That's going to be in the third, so not next week, but the week after. 2 weeks from now, that interview will be airing. Very excited about that. And I think, yes, let's get to a bit of news here. You think that sounds like typing, Destin? You're miming typing.
I gotta come up with something for the little thing that I do on the video.
Love it. Watch the video version. Destin's the only reason there is a video version. So he's entitled to goof off all he wants.
We're really close to the new studio. So I think I said last episode.
I know
that
you don't.
We were good.
That's yeah.
No more promises. But we're really close.
It always backfires. That's why I don't announce the IGN first ahead of time. Because if you never know if a date goes wrong, things go south. Okay, so Rocksteady's Batman trilogy, that would be Arkham Asylum, City, and Knight.
Not that other one we don't talk about.
Yeah, well, you are correct. Not Origins. So the Batman Arkham Collection is coming to Xbox One in September. It contains the remastered versions of Arkham Asylum and Arkham City, which had previously already released as the Return to Arkham Collection, mm-hmm. and then it just bundles Arkham Knight in there. But yes, no Arkham Origins.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, there was a weird color issue with these originally. I hope they patched that for this release.
Oh,
Something about the, like...
Now that you mentioned that, there was some problem, wasn't there?
Yeah, tint was wrong or something. I can't remember what it was.
But
it felt like a million years ago.
It does, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I love these games. These are probably three of my favorite superhero games ever.
Yeah,
especially City.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
See, some people are Asylum people, yeah. And some people are City people. I'm a City man myself.
And then if you're a weirdo, you're Arkham Knight.
I'm just kidding. I'm a City boy too.
Yeah. You know, when I remember when I was playing Knight.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I don't get the hate for this. Because I didn't play it. I played it fairly soon after it came out, but not like right away. And then as soon as I got to the horrible Batmobile stuff towards the end of the game, I was like,
you have to do.
I was like, oh, I get it now. This is terrible. Yeah. This is not good.
There's some tank segments that really break the flow of the whole thing. And like, yeah, it's a bummer. Because otherwise, it's pretty good.
Yeah. And I guess.
And also the villain. But I'm not going to ruin it because people are going to play it in this new collection.
Yeah, and that's my point exactly is if you've already played these games, either you own them or just have played them in you know, friend's house or whatever, this to me seems like don't bother.
Yeah.
There's nothing new or special about this. But if you haven't played them,
in a long
absolutely
time.
You should play these. These are, I'm totally with you, Destin. I mean, these are three of the best superhero games ever made. And I realize that's a bit of a backhanded compliment because superhero video games have historically been pretty bad, really, until Arkham Asylum came around.
Yeah, we think there's the Batman games. What are some other really great superhero games?
I mean, Hulk Ultimate Destruction, original Xbox, is always one of the fondly remembered ones.
Obviously, Spider-Man, but
X-Men Origins, Wolverine.
Spider-Man PS4 decent. And Spider-Man 2 mm-hmm. before that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. There have been a few.
Wolverine. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, the Marvel
was good.
The Marvel like top-down RPG games.
Ultimate Alliance.
Ultimate Alliance is about to come out, but was yeah they were all
yeah the original ones. Two were liked yeah. Yeah, those were Raven.
Yeah,
I still
X-Men
love those
Legends.
So was Wolverine. I still love those X-Men yeah. games on like the Genesis and
yeah.
I like the X-Men Genesis game, the first one. The second one a lot of people liked also.
I don't remember which one is which, but the one I loved was the one where you could bamf around with Nightcrawler.
I know you could do that in the first one, and I think he was in the second
one.
Well,
the one I love will
they all bleed
love
together.
The 6-player X-Men arcade game.
Oh yeah.
That's classic.
The beat 'em up.
And that did eventually come to Live Arcade on 360.
Mm-hmm.
It did come out. You can play it. So anyway, yeah, if you know, not worth double dipping at all, don't do it. But if you've never played these,
or if you're just itching to play them again in HD remake, then maybe.
Did we get a price on this?
$60 No, I don't. We could check Amazon real quick and
I'll check you guys.
Because it came from an Amazon UK listing, and then Rock City confirmed it, and that's when IGN reported on it. But yeah, I mean, so basically, this is a case where Warner Brothers owns Rocksteady, and I don't believe they have a big fall release. So this was probably a business decision made like, hey, this is our last chance to put these out on this generation of consoles because the PS5 and Scarlet are coming next holiday. So they probably just said, hey, let's take some easy money out of this.
Yeah, WB's been kind of quiet this year. I mean, they had Mortal Kombat
was their big release. Yeah.
And, you know, they just announced the Skywalker Saga, the Lego Star Wars game.
Lego, yes. The Travelers, because they own Traveler's Tales.
$39.99 in pounds. I can only find the UK.
That's about $60, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, here, $47.99 on the Xbox
store. Oh, is it? Okay. So.
That's not bad.
No.
I was going to say, you know, I mean, I know this is an Xbox podcast, but these games, the Arkham series is on sale on Steam, like every
Oh, that's with Game Pass. Sorry, guys. It's $59.99.
It is.
So it's
okay.
Full retail price.
Yeah. I was going to say, because the exchange rate, I thought, was still about 1.5 to 1. So.
Yeah, so I got to imagine WB is kind of just, you know, quietly building their salvo for next generation. So this makes sense. Like,
right. I mean, you figure
doing what Capcom did, remasters, re-releases.
Because we know, you know, whatever Rocksteady's thing is, that every E3 for the last probably 3 years we've got.
Is it going to be there?
This is going to be the year. You know, so Rocksteady.
And then
will
2 weeks
have
before
game.
The show, they tweet out, hey, we're not going to be there. Stop emailing us.
But you're right, though. So Rocksteady will have their new probably not Batman thing on next gen.
Superman.
Monolith will have what I would guess would probably be another Mordor game. I think they'll keep going with
one more time.
And then we'll go into, I guess, in 2 to 3 years from now on Scarlet, we'll have NetherRealm's
Injustice
3, right? So, and then, yeah, I'm not sure what other, can't remember what other.
You think we're getting a new Mordor? Did they confirm?
I'm just purely guessing.
But like when we did the IGN first for Shadow of War 2 years ago now, Michael DePlata, the creative director, was saying like he would love to just make Lord of the Rings games for as long as he can.
Yeah.
Well, you work in the right place, Michael.
He did say that I think War wrapped up Talion's story, the main character.
Yeah.
And no spoilers if you haven't played it, but the game ends in a very good place for that character. So I'm curious to see if they go in a different direction.
But although you never know, they could surprise us and just do a whole nother Lord of the Rings game. But they
like completely different.
Yeah, I mean, but I would think, you know, the tech that they built for that.
Yes, the Nemesis system.
Particularly the Nemesis system is.
And they use Rocksteady. They use Rocksteady's, you know, combat, or at least that's how it started, and it's been evolved since then. But.
So that's why just my instinct tells me that it's going to be another Mordor game.
Yeah. Where would you want to see a Mordor game?
I mean, there's plenty of room to play around in that world, you know. So
I want to be Sauron.
Are there any?
That'd be cool.
Yeah, like be a bad guy.
Become as he grows to like comes to power.
Yeah, well, I mean,
that would be a really fun.
All right, everyone.
Now we're talking.
All right. Put on your robe and your wizard hats. Here we go. Yeah, he started out as a lieutenant, like way back in the first age, I want to say. So it would be interesting to see like him rise to power and overthrowing. I want to say his name is Morgoth, was his commanding. Anyway, there's a lot of room. And I say this because Shadow of War kind of dipped into the bad side of things a little bit during gameplay without trying to give anything away. So I would love to see him just go full in. And
Shadow of Mordor, Rise of Sauron.
Yeah.
There's your title.
Yeah.
Boom. Did it. Done. Hire me, marketing team.
Cut the check.
No, don't. I don't want to work in marketing.
who else do they got for superheroes? They got Flash. They have Superman.
Well, I mean, all the DC stuff.
Yeah. I'm just looking to see if there's
a Flash game would be crazy. How would that even work?
That wouldn't.
Supergirl.
Good luck with that.
Like you
Swamp
would
ha- Thing.
Yeah.
Teen Titans for a hero beat him up or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to see like a Wonder Woman game. I think that'd be cool.
I'm just trying to remember what other studio. Well, I guess we're getting off track, but yeah, you're right though. Next gen, it's been pretty quiet for WB, but they've definitely got some bullets in the chamber for when Scarlet and PS5 roll around.
Yeah, I mean,
WB owns Rooster Teeth. I didn't know that.
I did not know that either.
Yeah, they own Fullscreen, who owns Rooster Teeth.
Huh.
Interesting. Huh. Like WB proper, not WB Games.
WB, yeah, Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, Playdead. Makers of Inside and Limbo before that, they are hiring, which, I mean, hey, if you're a talented artist or programmer or game developer listening to this podcast and you want to work with those guys, check out their job listings. PC Gamer did, not because they want to work there, but because they're good reporters, and they found that Playdead has slowly been revealing new concept art from their next game in their job postings over the last 2-3 months.
Cheeky.
Which is really cool. The artwork shows a game that certainly sticks to their established style, kind of a moody, melancholic landscape, painted in almost monochrome colors. But this time around, there is a definite sort of sci-fi tilt to it.
Nice.
And at least that's what the art suggests. And let's see. Oh, last year, an article on DR Playdead co-founder Arnt Jensen said that the upcoming game will, quote, move away from the 2D style that Playdead is known for, with the game opening up to become a much larger explorable area. So I wouldn't get your hopes up for seeing the game anytime soon.
Yeah.
Describing the photos, there is an astronaut in a swampy desert. If that can be imagined.
It's
like watery, swampy, and then there's like a shack. That's just sort of sitting there. It looks a little bit like Mars.
Yeah. One of those images was that original one that they did publicly release.
Was that the one with the parachute?
Yes.
Yeah, the parachute crash landed. So in a darker section of what we assume is the same level, there is that same character with an alien-looking antenna with a round top. It looks like a grill, but with a long antenna at the bottom of it. And then he is in the mountains.
And it's still that like high contrast, a lot of like pitch black in the forefront with colored background art. Yeah. I don't know. Like the first thing that pops in my mind is sort of a limited open world Playdead style game where you land on a planet and you have to discover its secrets.
Right.
You know,
similar to
Limbo, but like now you have six axes.
Well, I mean, when that first piece of concept art came out like 2 years ago now, We sort of colloquially referred to it as Outside because it had sort of a similar art style, kind of similar artistic vibe as Inside, but it was clearly in a larger outdoor setting. So yeah, I'm content to keep calling it Outside.
You said Outside in the intro, and I was going to correct you, and then I was like, he knows what he's doing.
I've got it. I got this.
You got this.
But yeah, I would bet that. Well, A, Playdead are perfectionists.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
B, they took 6 years between Limbo and Inside, and therefore, I'm history suggests we are at least 3 years away from whatever this game is.
Because this is one of those companies where I don't even care. Just make your game.
Exactly.
Make it the way you want to make it.
Yeah. I mean, we knew Inside was coming when it was, in the sense of like we knew they had a game. They had shown the tiniest bits of Inside years prior to 2016 when Inside came out. And then when it did finally come around, they pretty much just dropped it on us, which was for the best because that was a game where the less you knew about it going in, the better off you were. So I'm totally fine with that for this. It's like, all right, give me a little screenshot or a concept art every now and again just to remind me that it's still coming. And then just drop it when it's done. I don't want to see anything. Like, I'm the previews editor at IGN. Don't even have a preview event. Just drop the final game on me and I'll be happy.
Their games are phenomenal. They strike a mood just with a single screenshot of any part of any of their games, it seems.
Yes.
And I love that they're able to convey that that emotion just by this artwork that we're seeing of this new property. So I'm already excited, and I have no idea what the game is about.
Yeah, not only is there personality in their environmental art, excuse me, there's personality in their animations too.
Yes,
because if you play,
yes.
If you play inside, the way the boy walks, the way the little underwater girl,
like when he runs and the dogs are coming up on him,
he's like looking over his shoulder, and obviously the thing at the end, right?
Yeah.
But I go back to like the little girl under the water, like when she's like desperately grasping at you as she's coming forward to you, and just like the attention to detail in that animation kind of strikes fear into you, like she is coming for you.
Mm-hmm.
They're just so good at what they do.
I mean, I've said this before, I'm repeating myself, but literally every frame of Inside looks like it has about 17 layers of polish on it.
Oh, yeah.
Where,
hence the 6 years.
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing. It's like most games, granted, this is a smaller scope, smaller team that takes 6 years. You know, most games we're lucky to get one layer of polish. This in this day and age, in this day of early access and game preview and Limbo. And there's a of course I'm not knocking that stuff, but it's rare that we see a game that has such absurd amounts of detail and polish in every frame of it. The way, like, I don't think there were any bugs in Inside or any like glitches.
Spoilers.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like, It's almost a technically perfect game.
Yeah.
Technically. And of course I gave it a 10 as well.
Yeah.
I think very highly of it, but anyway, yeah. It's going to be a while. Speaking of Project Scarlet, look for this game to be on Scarlet.
Man, like, Limbo must have sold so well.
Well, you remember they ended up putting it on pretty much everything, including
afterwards.
Phones.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'll bet it made a mint just on mobile.
How do you sustain the development? Because they're correct.
Small team.
I think
I forget what country they're in. It's like not the Netherlands. It's some. Now I got to look it up because I don't want to be.
It's
I don't want to seem super stupid. But
even if you have,
it's not like they're not developing it in San Francisco where it costs $1 billion to have a game studio.
Yeah, but man, even if you have a 15-person team, like developing for 6 years, that is a hefty chunk of change.
They probably outsource a lot of it. Like, they're probably not all centralized.
Yeah.
In this
Denmark. Okay. They're in Copenhagen.
Oh, it's a lovely town.
I knew it was that part of the world. But yeah.
They're loaded.
And hey, they deserve it. Limbo and Inside are both masterpiece video games.
I just assume because they're in Denmark. Like, everybody there just has money to burn. Every single person. Just kidding. I'm generalizing. That's bad.
Mm.
Destin.
Sorry, buddy.
All right. Let's move on here. Gears 5. I actually had to stop myself right there from saying Of War. Gears 5.
Yeah.
You'd think after a month of covering the game that I would have it right, but my brain still wants to say Of War.
You're also coming off 10 years of the series.
Gears 5 of War.
You can be forgiven.
Yeah. There is a tech test coming up if you want to play some multiplayer, and it's going to be available to Game Pass subscribers. So reason number 738 to have Game Pass. You get some pre-release action on Gears 5. So this will start July 17th, that's next week, and you'll be able to download that tech test. Still need Xbox Live Gold. It's a multiplayer test, so you will need a gold subscription. And it will run, the tech test will run, from July 19th at 10 a.m. Pacific through the 21st, so that's next weekend. And then it will come back the following weekend, July 26th, 10 a.m. Pacific through July 29th.
Mm-hmm.
You will be able to compete in Escalation, and then there is a new arcade mode and King of the Hill, and there's a boot camp feature, sort of a little training thing you can run through as well. So this is part of that plan that Rod Ferguson had laid out on stage at E3.
Right.
They started with Escape, which we focused our coverage on, and that was their E3 focus, and then now the tech test where you get some other game modes, then they'll talk Versus and Horde before wrapping up with something or other from the campaign before the game actually drops at the beginning of September. But I cannot wait to play more of this.
Yeah.
Because it's it's too much fun. It's too much fun. I played, you know, Miranda got to play a ton for the IGN first up there.
Right.
I played one round at E3
of Escape.
And hey, I'm lucky I got to play that round. Don't get me wrong, but I want some more.
Was that the showcase?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Played one round. It was with Miranda and forget who else. I think Miranda, a random, and I think somebody from Coalition was. No, wait, it's three players. So it was just the two of us and a guy we didn't know.
Escalation, King of the Hill. Sounds good to me.
Yeah. So keep an eye out for that if you are a Game Pass subscriber. And finally,
excuse me.
Not quite, it's not literally Xbox news, but this is, I think, very much of interest to Xbox fans. Cuphead is getting a animated series on Netflix, which you hear that and you go, of course.
Yeah, why not?
Of course it is. And it makes so much sense. And that's like, hopefully that's going to be great. It's being handled by Netflix Animation. So Netflix's own in-house animation studio. Whereas like Voltron, which I super loved on Netflix, that was DreamWorks. That was through them. So this will be through Netflix's own in-house animation studio. The Moldenhauer brothers will executive produce, and then they got the showrunners are – it's sort of some people that did Disney stuff, and there was a SpongeBob person in there. So it seemed like a good mix of veteran animation talent.
That's awesome.
That will head this up. I had a chance to chat with Chad and Jared Moldenhauer on the phone ahead of the announcement. No release date, so that was the number one thing. It sounded to me that they're still – in the pretty early stages of things. Yeah. Like it didn't sound like they had scripts yet. Like I think they're still sort of fleshing out concepts and where they want to go with it, but it won't follow the story of the game. It won't just be like a cartoon retelling of the game. It'll be,
but it will be the main character.
Yeah. It'll be Cuphead and Mugman. And it'll be on Inkwell Isle. And they said, you know, it's like, so is this going to tie into The Delicious Last Course, which is the DLC expansion coming next year, or vice versa? Will there be stuff from that in the cartoon? And said, no, it's, they use the analogy of you know, like the old Mickey Mouse cartoons, where Mickey Mouse could be a pilot in one episode and he could be a baseball player in the next episode. So that kind of thing where, you know, the
standalone universe.
It'll just be anything's possible in there. It will be hand-drawn. But they said, so I was like, you guys can't possibly be doing this whole cartoon by hand, right?
No way.
And they're like, well, no, but kind of. Like, so they're going to, there's a term that they dropped that I don't know if they invented this term. I don't think they did. I immediately recoiled because it was gross. It was terrible. Tradigital animation.
Oh, God.
Don't like
right?
that.
See?
No.
See, this is why I could never do marketing, because it's just like, ew.
Tradigital.
So it is hand-drawn, but not onto paper. So it's, you know, it will be hand-drawn, but just into probably tablets and, you know, professional artists, that including them, that will do it. So it'll have the same look and feel as Cuphead, just without the absurd paper-inked, you know, meticulousness, because they've actually got to get the damn thing done in less than 10 years. So,
well, we'll see.
That's fair. But yeah, it sounds super fun.
Yeah.
I mean, how could you not want that?
I'm curious to see the personalities, because you play the game and you kind of ascribe whatever you want onto these characters.
Well, they said so the press release described Mugman as like the super gullible one, where basically he's just like down for whatever. So it sounds like Cuphead will kind of lead the way and Mugman might be like the goofy, almost sidekick kind of character.
Older, younger brother situation.
Yeah. So
I watched this on Netflix, that's for sure. Good place to put it.
But yeah. Good. I mean, good for them. I asked them about that. Like, it was how awesome for them that they're going to be on the largest streaming service in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you talk about a way to up your brand identity.
Yeah.
Like, have a show on Netflix. I mean, I know I'm sure there's plenty of content on Netflix that barely gets seen by anyone ever, because there's so much.
Netflix won't stop greenlighting shows.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, I imagine they just have a check cutting machine. You go up and press the button. make your thing.
Yeah. Just it's just they're all signed. Just fill in the amount you need.
Yeah, exactly. Blank checks.
But no, I thought this was awesome and really happy for the Moldenhauer team that
this
whenever
is cool.
This comes around, I'm super down to watch it.
This is cool, especially considering where they came from. You know, like, right? Just to get the game made. I remember the first time we saw it at one of the Microsoft showcases down here, just a couple blocks away.
GDC, yeah?
No. It was one of the off-season ones. Yeah. And they were talking about it, and they were talking about just, like, how much of themselves they put into this. And I think one of the brothers told me that they, like, did a second mortgage on their house to fund development of it.
Correct.
And he's like, yeah, so I really hope it works out. And now they're coming to Netflix. Like, what a cool success story that is.
Yeah. I did an IGN Unfiltered with the two of them,
yeah,
the two together. Brothers. Fortunately, Maya couldn't make it as well. She's a big part of the team. But, yeah, if you never saw or heard that Unfiltered, it kind of goes through that whole, like, day jobs to game development story.
Developing in the attic or the basement.
Yeah, and I thought it was a really good conversation. So please do check that out if you never did. And that will wrap it up for the news. Let's see here. Where are we at? 54 minutes.
Oh,
yeah,
wow. We did good.
We haven't done the loot box in quite a while.
Let's do it.
So let's do it. Andy from Newcastle, UK says, I have many fond memories of old Xbox Live, as many Xbox gamers do. He cites Rainbow Six 3, mm-hmm. Halo 2,
good.
Burnout 3,
great.
Splinter Cell Spies vs. Mercs.
That was an excellent mode.
PGR 2. And he's so just right now, I just want to go play all those games.
PGR 2? Why can't I? What is that?
Project Gotham Racing?
Oh, yes. Okay, thank you. I was like, Plants, Garden,
bro.
Rambo?
No. Oh, you're gonna get thrown off the show with the...
How dare you?
PGR, baby.
PGR.
Project Gotham.
That was, you know, the soul of PGR has effectively been absorbed by Playground into Forza Horizon.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, PGR 2 was my... 2 and 3, to a lesser extent 4, but
yeah.
They were my jam back in the day because they weren't as... They were... realistic, but not like just meticulously hardcore ultra realism.
They weren't like sim racers.
Yeah. They were still like real cars, real. They were one of the first, if not the first, to do a full cockpit view.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, like still, you know, the kudos points. You power slide through a corner, and you get the kudos point build up. Now they effectively have that system in mm-hmm. Horizon now. And PGR was my jam. It's good stuff. Anyway. And it had really good multiplayer modes as well, which is cool. Why Andy is citing it.
Speaking of multiplayer.
Yeah. So continuing Andy's loot box question, he says, do the IGN experts think it is likely or even possible that Microsoft will do their magic and open the servers for old Xbox Live with the big push regarding backwards compatibility over the last couple of years? It seems plausible for Scarlet, maybe?
Anything is possible, Andy. Likely?
Anything is possible.
Unfortunately, I don't think so.
I agree with Destin. I think that's probably a non-starter.
Yeah. The reason is because you would have to have somebody like the people who did the Killer Instinct multiplayer. You know, you have to figure out a way to build that infrastructure again. And I just don't see them dedicating resources so that we can all play old games that we loved online.
I agree.
And I'm bummed. Like, I would love that.
Oh, my God. If I could go back to Halo 2 and... Yeah. I can't remember the name of that, Brian, the construction site with the big...
You can go back to Halo 2 with the Master Chief
Collection. Yeah, Master Chief Collection. You're all good, man.
Yeah.
But I know what you're saying.
Rainbow Six 3. Splinter Cell, Rainbow Six 3.
Oh, my gosh. Man. I got to go. But, yeah, so, like, if you could go back and play all of these... I mean, God, how many hours I lost to Mech Assault when it came to Xbox Live.
Yes.
It was, like, the first game where I'm like, oh, I see it. I get it now.
Yeah.
This is really cool. But like Destin said, you not only have to redesign, you have to create a new infrastructure.
Yeah, the whole back end
to
support
that. the new Xbox Live.
And each one probably had its own system. Like Halo definitely had a different system.
I mean, that's a big problem with cross-platform play, right? Is like, how do you use Xbox Live and make it communicate with PlayStation Network? And you'd have to solve for that for these games as well. In addition to that, you're talking server costs, which just continue to accrue over time for a subset of the audience that probably isn't going to be worth it, you know?
Yeah. The audience would be too low, so it's a cost-benefit analysis thing. And as a business, it would be a hard sell to justify...
Yeah.
Firing everybody up to build these infrastructures necessary.
But you know what would be cool is just to end this a little
if they did it anyway.
Well,
that would be
cool. If they did it, but like what if there was like a so we've got the anniversary of the original Xbox coming up in 2021
mm-hmm.
with the anniversary of Xbox Live is 2022, but you know, do like a throwback weekend where they just somehow are able to fake it using xCloud maybe and just turn all that stuff back on for like a limited time. And then make and just make a bunch of those games free for a limited time. Like, go play all the old stuff. We're celebrating all the old games.
I think that would be neat as like a short-term thing.
Right?
Yeah, but
it would be expensive.
Yeah, it would be expensive. But maybe they're the tech's not as hard as we know.
Maybe, I mean, yeah.
We're not developers.
I mean, we are we have no bearing on what it actually takes to do this. Yeah, I just imagine all the infrastructure that have to be recreated and the server costs and then you're dividing the audience and directing them away from the new games that you're trying to sell them and the new games that you want them to play online. Mm-hmm. I don't see it happening. Would it be awesome? Yes.
Yeah.
But I don't think so.
I'm in sad agreement with both of you on this one. But
sorry, Andy.
A great topic by Andy, nevertheless.
We are stoked, though. We love those games.
But I do
good memories.
Like the idea of – with the idea of backwards compat and future-proofing, we might see, you know, the 360 or the current Xbox One multiplayer suites kind of
live on
a little bit in through the next generation and maybe the generation after that, if there is one. I was thinking in the shower this morning, I was thinking about our Xbox naming conversation last week.
A lot of people hit me up about that too. That was a fun one.
Yeah. I was thinking, you know what the Xbox Infinite would be great for? The last console you'll ever need. What if you just buy this console and they're like, yeah, we're not going to make hardware anymore. We're just going to continue to update.
So I talked to somebody who works in marketing, and they're like, I don't think they can use that because of Xfinity.
Smart. It might be too close.
Sure they could.
Dang it.
I mean, Xfinity is its own dumb word.
I think they own the rights to Infinity, which means marketing-wise, you can't use the word Infinity without paying a licensing fee to
Xfinity. Well, we were talking about Xbox Infinite.
Right. But if it causes brand confusion, you can litigate and argue that it's too close to your trademark.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm no lawyer, but that doesn't –
just some marketing guy. What does he know?
I'm not ripping on kidding. The marketing guy.
I'm just joking, right?
Who knows, man? All you need to do is find a judge, and there are some wacky decisions these days coming out of the judiciary. Well,
that's another show entirely.
Yeah.
I love that name, though.
Xbox
Infinite?
Infinite, yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
Let's just call it that. Let's call it that.
Somebody did a really cool mock-up and I think sent it to us of the Xbox 720. That it had kind of a like a blue treatment to it. I thought it looked pretty cool. I don't think they'll ever abandon the green.
No, the Sony's got blue on lock. Yeah. I don't see that. I don't see Microsoft unlocked. Going into that territory at all.
You almost said unlocked. I was just sorry.
Yeah,
it would be smart. Yeah, it would be smart because if you are trying to market against competition. You need something bigger than 5, you know? So Xbox 720.
720 just is going to make people think of 720p, which is the thing does 4K. Yeah. So if anything, they might – I mean, I know we talked
– 8K, yeah, right?
I mean, they might call it the Xbox 4K.
Oh, yeah, that could be it. Yeah,
but I doubt it.
So I don't
– the
I don't,
X.
I don't think it's going to be anything. I think they're going to come out with something unique.
Yeah.
And none of us will have seen it coming.
The X, break up with your current console. Come over here.
The Xbox Redemption.
The EX box?
Yeah.
All right. Now
I'm still voting for Next Box. But.
Every year, every generation, we get to throw that one out there. Yeah. Next Box.
Little lowercase N, lowercase E, capital X box. Next box.
Why not? Could be anything. Andy, thank you so much. If you want to send in a loot box question for the panel to consider, send it into unlocked@ign.com, which is also the way you send in Unlock Block trivia questions. But for this one, we need the question, the 4 multiple choice answers, and note the correct one in your email. John is this week's trivia asker. And John asks, if you remember when Xbox Live Arcade launched.
Oh, crap.
This.
All right, continue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, this is a good one. I remember this well. There was a 50 megabyte file size limit at the beginning of the Live Arcade because of the console we were talking about last week, the Xbox Live the Xbox 360 Arcade.
Yeah,
that didn't have a hard drive, and you had to buy memory cards.
Yeah. Yeah,
and there were like 64 meg memory cards. So, which game was the first to break past that 50 megabyte limit for Xbox Live Arcade? Was it Doom, Alien Hominid HD, Castlevania Symphony of the Night, or Braid? Do either of you gentlemen remember?
Brandon?
I don't, but I should know this.
I think I would have gotten this on my own without having looked at the question and answer. I think I remembered this one.
Do you know it?
Yeah.
You're 100% sure?
I am 90% sure.
Second week in a row, Destin's going to make me look like a clown. B, Alien Hominid HD, final answer.
D, Braid.
God! That's what I was going to say, too.
It's Castlevania.
Dang it. Oh, well.
Mr. Confident.
Egg on both our faces.
I said 90%.
Yeah, I thought it might be that because Jonathan Blow's Braid was one of the first big XBLA hits. Like it was Castle Crashers.
Why'd they do it for Castlevania?
There were a couple others. It's probably just a bigger game.
Yeah, just needed more than 50 megs, man. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Doom was less than 50 megs in its original form.
I'm like, it's not Doom.
It wasn't Doom.
Yeah.
So nice job, John. You stumped both Brandon
well done.
And Destin.
John, the thin blow.
Castlevania would have been my second guess.
Yeah. I was going to say.
Send those trivia questions in. We'll play again next week. I've barely added any points to the board for like the last month.
It's great. I'm winning.
We've been.
I'm fine with that.
I love it. You don't have to be first. You just have to be faster than your friend outrunning the bear.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right.
Who's getting eaten in this scenario?
No, the old saying, you don't have to outrun the bear, you just have to outrun your friend. Yeah. was that not clear?
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Mixed the metaphors. Bear will eat your friend while you get away safely.
Someone dies if they don't win trivia? I'm scared. I don't want to win now, you guys.
Welcome to 2019, where we play for final stakes.
Welcome to Running Man.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be great.
Time to go. You can find me on Twitter at DMC_Ryan. When I'm not writing about Cuphead things, I'm writing about other video game things for IGN. I feel like I've been doing a lot of Cuphead stuff lately.
Well, I mean, there's been a fair bit of news lately.
It is interesting. Yeah, there was there's this TV show thing, and then Elon Musk dropping the Cuphead Tesla announcement like straight into my lap.
And then the DLC
thing recently.
And to be fair, this kind of makes up for the 2 years we went without any word about Cuphead.
That's fair.
Before it came out.
Fair point. But Controls, IGN first. Please keep an eye on that. Just check in on the site every day or so. We'll have something new and cool on a game that I'm super looking forward to. Destin.
Just follow me on Twitter at Destin Langeri. I'm working on the Halo thing that I talked about earlier. And it's sort of getting back in the groove now that I'm back from Florida.
Yeah.
Brandon, take us home.
Hi. Sorry I was so low energy today. I'm going to go do some DayQuil. You can find me on Twitter as well. It's just my name, Brandon, at Brandon Tyrell. And thanks for tuning in.
Follow my Instagram for bird photos.
Yeah.
Destin around.
They're pretty interesting. Did those little hatchlings leave the nest?
Yeah, they're all grown up, actually. I went for a 2-mile run this morning and I'm losing some weight. Anyway, they're like almost adults now. Like they're pretty big. It was pretty cool to watch that.
It's awesome.
Whole journey.
Did you miss them while you were in Florida?
My wife and I went there like first thing this morning.
Yeah, good.
It's like, let's go see the babies.
Check in.
And that's how she encouraged me to run to the run to the lake. But yeah, I was like, all right.
Did she run with you?
Yeah,
we run
together.
Nice. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Married life suits you, Destin.
It does.
She's wonderful.
I'm glad you're happy.
She's the best.
Glad you're happy. Glad she's happy.
Yeah.
You got that in life.
All you need is love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Beatles were right.
Yeah.
They're right the whole time.
And baby birds for motivation.
Hey, whatever it takes.
Yeah, man.
All right. We'll see everybody next week.
Bye.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.